Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Busted.
Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females, get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad, are showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class function.
Good morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I want you to know I have over 1,200 great citizens of Santa Rosa County who I do not know that have reached out after they saw that spectacle of me getting my First Amendment rights taken away, and they all had the same opinion and came to it. And I'm going to say, before I get going, since I was cut off, Mr. Smith, I expect you to resign effectively today. Nobody wants you to represent them any longer.
There we go. Okay, so we're off and running. You're going to be okay, Candy? You like the new stager for the public forum section of the meetings? All right, so in order to understand this story, you got to go back 2 weeks. You remember at the, is that right, 2 weeks? Yeah, okay, 2 weeks. To the prior Santa Rosa County Commission meeting and then the zoning meeting. So in the morning meeting, you know, James Calkins says, because he doesn't want to have Shanna Alford be on the Marine Advisory Committee, he says, I found out that she's a Democrat and Democrats are the party of evil and, you know, I'm not going to ever vote for a Democrat and I think everybody's with me. And nobody was with him. Except in the night meeting, one of his henchmen, buddies, cohort, you know, partner crime, whatever, Michael Stevens comes up and says, how dare you, starts yelling and gets sheriff assisted off the podium, basically because he wouldn't shut up because he wanted to talk about this issue in the zoning board meeting where there wasn't really an agenda item related to this and there wasn't a scheduled public forum section. Okay, so that's the backdrop. You know, and I talked about how saying that Democrats are evil and Democrats are the party that, you know, they hate America and they hate it. That's un-American. That's unpatriotic. That's against the ideals of pluralism and tolerance and, you know, civility and all the rest. OK, so, you know, a fairly routine critique of James Calkins. Well, in the intervening time, Michael Stevens has gotten more worked up than ever before. So as you heard there, he's so angry at Kerry Smith. Kerry was the one who's kind of running the meeting at the time when all of this happened 2 weeks ago, because they each run a section of the meeting, basically, that's relevant to their committee stuff. So he says, I think you should resign. And, you know, then Colton Wright, the chairman, tries to get him to shut up, and he won't shut up. And so the, you know, the sheriff's deputy has to kind of come over again.
On a positive note, I get 4 minutes. On a positive note, I would like to recognize Commissioner for a well-done job, Sam Parker. Your team has done a great job, and thank you for completing the Pea Ridge Board, which saves me time and money.
So this guy's like 2-0 at getting escorted from the podium. Like, you know, he's got a perfect batting average for being obnoxious at the meetings.
I say 14 miles each day when I go to Lowe's.
That's James Calkins.
We have to see more infrastructure. I would like to see speed bumps on.
That's the deputy helping him along.
Because my constitutional right before you change the rules was 4 minutes. Thank you.
Your fellow citizens.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah. And by the way, the applause there is not for Michael Stevens. The applause is for making him be quiet. Because you know this because later on in the meeting, there are times when sort of James Calkins' side gets applause by one guy. This guy who's getting escorted away from the podium. So he's the only one in the room that is on James Calkins' side. And since he's talking, that means everybody's applauding for him getting not really removed, but, you know, sort of gently assisted away from the podium. Of course, Colton Wright and James Calkins kind of continue to bicker over this issue of the time limits.
Mr. Chairman.
No, Mr. Calkins, We are cutting into the people's time now.
You can extend the meeting and let people speak. This is wrong to silence this gentleman. Absolutely horrible.
Mr. Calkins.
You silenced
him. You're out
of
order. Stop.
4 minutes.
Stop.
They get 4 minutes and you change it to 2.5 meeting?
You are not the chairman, Mr. Calkins.
We made sure of that.
We made sure of that.
If the rest of this board wants to help make a decision,
they already made a decision. Our board policy is 4 minutes per speaker. We agreed on that. That's a board policy, 4 minutes.
Just, Mr. Stevens, if you have another outburst, you will leave the room.
Yes, sir.
And let me just tell you this. This is clip 6 of 60. Oh, so this gets, I mean, it's out of hand from the start, but it does not get better. And then of all the things that get said yesterday, this is Holly Picardi. This is kind of like the mild stuff.
Your statement that you would not support a Democrat to serve on a nonpartisan advisory board is misguided.
That's real, like, civil and normal. And then you have Wallace Mahout, who had run for county commissioner several years ago. I forget. I think something like that. She's kind of always talking and always a little bit extreme in what she says. I'll just prepare you that even though I say that, it won't prepare you for this.
On January 30th, 1933, Adolf Hitler was appointed Chancellor of Germany and later assumes dictatorial power.
As soon as Hitler comes up in the conversation, everything changes.
Adolf Hitler adopted the swastika.
Here we go.
As the primary symbol for the Nazi Party in 1920.
Who's she talking about? She's talking about Commissioner Calkins.
So here you go, James. There's your sign.
She's holding up.
There's that swastika.
A picture of one.
You're labeling a certain group of people not worthy.
As in, he is attacking the Dems the way Hitler attacked the Jews.
Would you like to take some of these Democrats here today, line them up, shoot them, and throw them into a ditch?
I told you, clip 60 is coming.
You are a dangerous person.
So, you know, it didn't get better.
Labeling a certain group of people as not worthy, as evil. That is how this war started. That is really, really bad thinking.
So she is the first of many to make the following request.
Today I ask for your resignation. You don't belong on this board, any board. I would never appoint you to any board.
Ms. Mahout, your time has expired.
Thank you.
So if you're keeping score at home, that is so far two calls for resignations by two different people for two different commissioners. So far in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. And I think I'm now up to clip 15 out of 60. So, I'll give you a little more flavor here. Okay, Dr. Jean Siebenaller is a Navy vet, a retired medical physician, a doctor.
I must speak out against the hate speech that is emanating from the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners dais against citizens who are politically registered as Democrats. You see, I am also a proud registered Democrat.
And again, a Navy veteran, you know, served the country for a long time, talked about the duty of civility and honor and decorum and learning to serve.
And I absolutely cannot imagine supporting any politician who spouts hateful rhetoric that comes straight out of Putin's playbook.
So we got two calls for resignations. For two different commissioners, we now have a Hitler reference and a Putin reference.
Now, while I think it is important that you know why I am a registered Democrat, I am really here today to also ask Commissioner Calkins to respect his oath of office and resign.
That's two for Calkins.
I also believe that this body, that you all should formally reprimand him and report his behavior to the commissioner of the Commission on Ethics for violation of Statute 350.041, Commissioner Standards of Conduct.
If you're curious about that statute, it has a whole bunch of stuff that has to do with financial misdealings and not taking bribes, basically. But then Section G, a commissioner may not conduct himself or herself in an unprofessional manner at any time during the performance of his or her official duties. Commissioner H must avoid impropriety in all of his or her activities and must act at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence in the integrity and impartiality of the commission. Impartiality being one of the keys there. And so she says, look, this is an ethics violation. You need to be sanctioned or more.
This statute states a commissioner may not conduct himself in an unprofessional manner at any time during the performance of official duties. He must avoid impropriety in all of his activities, and he must act at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence and integrity and impartiality. Check, check, check. He has violated all those. He must stop. He's dangerous. He promotes violence, and you must sanction him. Thank you.
There you go. So that's 2-1 so far on resignation calls. 2 for Commissioner James Calkins. 1 for Kerry Smith from the beginning. The only one that you're going to get for Kerry Smith from the beginning. You will get more calls for resignation throughout the meeting from citizens for James Calkins over his comments that the Democratic Party is evil and that that's why he cannot nominate anybody to be on a board or support anybody being on a board, even a nonpartisan board for the county. And in case you're wondering if he was going to be, contrite and repentant and apologetic.
I also want to say that I stand by my statements at the last meeting. I believe that the Florida Democratic Party platform is evil.
And there's more, as I said. We're now up to about a third of the overall clips that I have cut. Oh, including, by the way, a whole other commissioner swears. Like, not even Calkins swears in this. I'll give you a little taste of this. This one I'll save for later as well. But Commissioner Ray Eddington, you know, the quiet one who stumbles over his words and has trouble reading the agenda items, Ray Eddington from District 4. Ray Eddington at one point, and we've gotten through a lot of stuff at this point. This is flashing forward like an hour into the meeting. He asked for permission to speak.
Commissioner Items.
Can I speak for a second?
Sure. Just one thing. I just want to remind people that actions speak louder than words, and we can use the term respect.
That's
but it's just a
think.
Word unless you actually show
we
it.
We got to respect every party, every person. We got to respect them. I run on the thing. I'll work for everybody. I don't care who you are, Democrats, Republicans, Independent, black, white, purple, green. I'm here to work for everybody in this county. And I want them to come to my office. If you got a problem, I don't care who you are. Please come and talk to me.
That's good. That's all good. So far, so good. No big deal.
My parents were Democrat, diehard. That's all I knowed back them days. I voted Democrat my first time I ever voted at 18. That's all I knowed. I'm a Republican now. I switched because I listen to the different people that run. I don't vote by the party. I vote for the person that I do think can do a better job for us. That's the way I look at it. But this fussing between everybody, this got to stop. We got to work together. We got to work together. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry.
Agree with you 100%.
As do we all. I mean, you know, the value of profanity, frankly, is that you don't use it very much so that when you use it, it has effect. I did not see that coming. From him, especially. So, I give you the Santa Rosa County Commission Public Forum, now re-entered into the competition for most amazing thing to watch on TV. On News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Paralyzed veterans Sean Halstead and Noah Currier.
I was Air Force from 93 to 98. I got hurt practicing combat search and rescue, fell off a fast rope, so shattered L1 vertebrae. I don't know where I'd be without paralyzed veterans. I've only seen that now.
Unite through struggle, you know, that's what the Marine Corps and service is all about. You get tight and those bonds just get stronger and stronger. The more you struggle together and the harder the hardship. And I don't know if it gets any harder than being a quadriplegic, so, you know, we instantly bond.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is a nonprofit, and it gets no federal funding.
And we provide every service free of charge to every veteran and caregiver that we support.
Paralyzed Veteran and PVA Executive Director Sherman Gillums Jr.
Every life, every success, every recovery, it's tied to the initial investment you've had in us.
To learn more, visit PVA.org, a public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail, the ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way, offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTR-CM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
But how did he get down to his underwear that fast?
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom without any operatic background. David, what's going on here for now?
California Governor Gavin Newsom threatening a lawsuit over the arrival of 16 migrants in Sacramento on a charter plane over the weekend. He believes Governor DeSantis is behind the move. And then a second plane with 20 migrants, which may have ties to Okaloosa County, reportedly arrived there yesterday. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will be in New Hampshire tonight to launch his second bid for the White House. He's said to appear at a meeting at St. Anselm College. Christie previously ran in 2016 and later dropped out. And the mother of a six-year-old Virginia boy who shot his first-grade teacher earlier this year, now facing federal charges. Deja Taylor being charged with being an unlawful user of a controlled substance in possession of a firearm and making a false statement. Court documents say that she claimed not to be an unlawful user when she bought the handgun that was used, even though she was a marijuana user.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, when it comes to the 2024 presidential campaign, we had lots of news yesterday. One bit of news is that Pence has filed papers, so he's in, which is a 0% surprise. Mike Pence is going to be running, former vice president, former governor, former representative. Actually, you know, I never thought about it until just now. He followed the same path that DeSantis followed, except for the talk show host part. Like, Mike Pence was a talk show host before, and whereas, you know, DeSantis was a lawyer for the Navy.
Mike Pence was a talk show host?
Yeah, he was a radio talk show host before he was in Congress.
I didn't know
so
that.
They both went to Congress, and then they came home to be governor of their state, and then now they're both trying to be president. Of course, Pence tried to be president before. So, you know, that's just, I had not thought about it before. Anyway, he's filed papers, so he's in. Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, is out. He says, I'm not running. He's a pro-choice Republican. I like Chris Sununu quite a bit. He's a really sharp fellow, but he basically said his advice to everybody else is if you can't see a path to actually winning, get out. And in part, his argument is because otherwise Trump will get the nomination. He's anti-Trump. But he says, look, all I'm, you know, he didn't say this out loud, but he's, you know, this is the thinking that a lot of us have the same analysis, and Trump has the same analysis, I know, is, look, the more people are in the part, the more people are in the primaries, the better chance he gets the nomination. And Chris Sununu's problem with Trump is he thinks he cannot win the general. I also think that Trump can't win the general. And so putting him into as the nomination is just, you know, asking for defeat in November. So he says, look, I don't help. I can't win. It's better for me to not get in at all. And then Cornell West is in as an independent. Yeah, well, if you don't, you know, he's a, I don't know, he's a very liberal black activist professor. If you don't know him, you don't know. He'll be an interesting candidate. He won't be in any of the debates because it won't be until the general election. He's running as the Happiness Party or something. It's some weird thing. I'm not mocking this. It was something I'd never heard of before yesterday.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says the Russian military is responsible for an explosion at a major dam and hydroelectric power plant. The Russians blame the Ukrainians.
Ukraine has been saying if the Kakhovka Dam failed, it could unleash nearly 5 billion gallons of water. Parts of the city of Kherson, as well as villages evacuated along the Dnipro River.
Fox's Jill Nato. Michael Tysias is scheduled for execution in Missouri tonight for the murder of two jail guards trying to break someone out in 2000 when he was 19 years old.
The scheduled execution a day after the U.S. Supreme Court declined to stay in his case. Several prominent groups and individuals, even jurors who convicted Tysias, have voiced opposition to the execution, citing his age at the time of the crimes, history of being abused, and poor legal representation.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. Two other men involved in that failed jailbreak are serving life sentences. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 69 degrees right now, clear skies, beautiful sunrise outside, it looks like. Community discussion on the OLF 8 project continued last night at a town hall meeting with District 1 Commissioner Jeff Burgosh.
As your representative, I'm sticking with the master plan. Look, I had to hold my nose when I voted for it. I didn't like it. I didn't want any housing. I didn't want apartments. I didn't want hotels. I wanted jobs. But when you make a deal, you stick with it. So I'm sticking with the master plan. It's in our code of ordinances.
And the master plan has been one topic discussed heavily as this has all developed. The county had originally intended for the 500 acres to be used for job creation in Escambia County. Representatives from D.R. Horton did not attend that meeting last night. Burgosh took concerns about the project at last night's meeting. He'll take those back to D.R. Horton ultimately to make adjustments to their final development plan. A federal judge now planning to hold a hearing today in connection with the new Florida law that impacts drag shows. More from Joe Ford.
Hamburger Mary's in Orlando filed a lawsuit last month claiming the legislation signed by Governor DeSantis is unconstitutional and has already negatively affected their business. The bill prohibits children from attending adult live performances. The state filed its arguments late last week claiming the law does not target drag shows and wants the challenge tossed out. The judge is expected to consider a temporary restraining order on the bill during today's hearing. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Baldwin County authorities say a 15-year-old boy died in a UTV crash over the weekend. That happened about 3 o'clock on Sunday in the Stockton community. In a news release, the sheriff's office says the 15-year-old was driving on private property when the UTV rolled over. No other details were released. Florida Fish and Wildlife releasing the numbers related to boating accidents last year. In total, the state of Florida had 735 boat accidents, with Monroe County having the most with 92, Miami-Dade following with 90. Now, Escambia and Santa Rosa combined had 9 accidents, with 3 of those involving a fatality. Okaloosa County had the 6th highest total in the state with 35 boating accidents, 4 fatalities. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm today. 30% chance of rain overall, high near 86. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Rain chances will continue through the afternoon as we go into Wednesday. 40% chance of rain with a high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 69 degrees, clear skies in Pensacola. It's 70 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News. Traffic on the fives. Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket, a lawn chair, just remember no pets or glass, and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7. This week, Tyler Mack rocks Bands on the Beach. Tyler was even nominated for the Blues 411 Annual Jimmy Awards for the Best New Debut Release. Bring a blanket, a lawn chair, just remember no pets or glass, and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Good morning. It's 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to our favorite farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. And by the way, Ryan, congratulations, sir. You and I were given a Regional Murrow Award for the work that we did all last year talking about the Life on a Farm segment, the Day in the Life of a Farmer segment. And I, you know, we might still win a national award for this, but man, congratulations. You made it possible. I certainly would have been able to do it without you. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Well, thank you. All I did was answer your question, so I think you're the award winner.
I tell you, I get more comments on your segment. People love it, and they're so glad that you're around, and they appreciate all the information. So I absolutely appreciate it, too. What a great blessing to have met you through Leadership Santa Rosa. I drove past yesterday. I sent you a really stupid, corny picture of me in front of the corn. I apologize for that. How is the corn doing? It seems to be full grown, but is it coming in healthy?
It is. We've had a pretty good growing season up until now. You know, the yield potential is very high. Like you say, the plants look healthy and all, but now we're to the critical phase. When you see them like they were yesterday, when you see the tassels coming out of the top, which is the male part of the plant that pollinates the rest of it, from there on out for the next probably month, it needs the most water that it needs in its life cycle. So this will really determine what our yield's going to be like. If we don't soon get some rain and a good amount of it, you know, our yields aren't going to be as high as what they could have been. So we're hoping for rain for our crops, especially the corn right now as it's in its critical phase. But yeah, all in all, it definitely looks pretty when you drive by, doesn't it?
But it needs the rain to be full. Okay, so that makes sense. I do weird question. It seemed to me like over the last month that when I go to the grocery store, I see abundant corn at cheaper prices than it's been for a long time. And I'm trying to reconcile, why is it sweet corn season at the grocery store in May when your corn is clearly not yet full grown and harvested yet in the field?
Well, it's two different types of corn. This is field corn, and yours that you're seeing that everybody likes to eat and loves to eat out of the grocery store is sweet corn. And that's planted a little bit earlier and has a little bit shorter growing cycle than the corn that we grow basically for feed.
Okay. And then we have another round of the sweet corn that comes later in the year, too. Am I right about that? Because I think of like the corn festivals in Illinois were always like September or something.
Well, a lot of the sweet corn guys in the area, they'll plant several different crops of it to try to keep it coming in all throughout the summer while people are enjoying eating it.
Oh.
Instead of it just like my crop just going to come off at one time. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, because they're trying to satisfy a sort of a temporary market and want the corn to be fresh. You're trying to satisfy like the feed and grain sort of version of the corn. Is that right?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
That makes sense. Okay.
That's why you're award winning.
we are award winning. Hey, I also wanted to ask you I see the rows. It's kind of funny because you told me about the double row planting for the peanuts, and everywhere I go, I see these little double rows. I'm like, I know what. My wife, she's like, I know what those are now because I recognize them going in. How is the wheat? How did the wheat do this year? Which you don't grow a lot of, but you still grow some.
The wheat was terrible. We like it. You know, it'll hit every once in a while, and it's, you know, that's called double cropping. So we have a crop that grows during the winter, and we harvest it in the spring. Then we plant our so-called money crop, our cotton or soybeans or whatever behind it, and we try to get two crops off of one year. But this year, I can't remember, was it in April when we were talking, and we had kind of a weird cold snap there.
Yeah.
And we had a little freeze. That really, I think, set us back on our wheat. You know, usually usually our yield are around 60 bushels to the acre. And this year we're in that 35 to 45 bushels per acre.
Wow.
And the quality is really bad. So, multiple things to talk about. This time last year, wheat prices were $11 a bushel. This year, they're $6 a bushel, and by the time we finished getting everything docked, the prices docked that we're getting paid for the quality being poor, we're not making but $3 and something a bushel.
Oh, my God. So it's a quarter of last year's price, and you're only harvesting about 60% of what you harvested last year. You're losing money on wheat, I assume.
Losing money, yes. It's so much fun when stuff like that happens. It just it makes your days go by so fast. But yeah, we're not making much money on our wheat this year. We finished well. I like one pass. It rained out of nowhere Saturday. We were finishing up our last field of wheat for the year, and I like one pass being done. But we're about to be done with that and clean the combine up and put it up until it's time to shell corn in the end of July.
And so, but I mean, you still have to harvest it because even though it's not going to make you money, you're going to avoid losing even more by, getting what you can get, right?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want it off the field so I can plant the next crop.
Get out of my sight so I can plant something that's going to work this year.
That's right.
The governor recently signed HB 1279. This is a law that I think does kind of in our state what has been done in some other states. When you buy agricultural materials that are tax exempt, you have to like file papers every time, and this will allow you to have basically a card that sort of streamlines the paperwork process. Is that basically right? Is that going to help you guys very much?
It'll help. It'll make life easier. Now, if you have something that's tax exempt, you have to fill out paperwork, like you say, and give it to each individual company that you do business with for that product. And now it'll be easier just to be able to flash basically a credit card looking thing at them, and they say, all right, you're good to go. That type of, it's just going to streamline the process and make life a little faster and a little easier for us.
Outstanding. Is cotton in yet? Pardon me for forgetting where we are in the season yet. Is cotton in yet?
It is. We're basically through finished planting everything.
Okay.
Last week, we like one field of cotton today that I had to cut the wheat off of on Saturday. And so hopefully, by right after lunch today, we'll be finished planting cotton for the first time. Then we have to go around and replant the places that didn't come up the first time. And I know we've got, probably 100 acres worth of that to do, I imagine.
And you've got, so what you're wanting is you're wanting water for the corn and water, I assume, for the early phases of the cotton. And then later on, you want heat for the cotton. Is that right?
That's right. If we could get in a pattern where basically we got an inch of rain every week and that was about all we got, got it on one day and then let it go until the next week, that would be, in my eyes, that would be a perfect scenario. But you know what? I'm thankful to God every time we get what we get. So it's he takes care of us, and we end up doing better than we deserve almost every time. So I'm appreciative for that.
All right, you're going to laugh at me, but I got to tell you this story because it relates to you. My wife and I are biking yesterday, and we're biking across all these fields, right, that have got all these crops in and, you know, just been planted and barely growing. And first of all, we see fire hydrants next to all these fields, and I'm baffled by this because they don't seem to be by houses, and I don't understand. And then I see these kind of weird-looking, I don't know, to me they look like spigots and faucets and things like that in the middle of a lot of these fields. And my wife's like, what's that for? And I said, they don't do irrigation here. Ryan has said many times we don't bother irrigating because it rains enough. And then a little later on, we see these little pipes sticking up, and they say, warning, petroleum line here. And it finally, when I drove past a place that actually had a a flame going and some tanks holding some oil, I realized, oh my God, these are oil fields and oil wells, and that's, I assume, why the fire hydrants are there, because Jay at least used to be a massive oil drilling area. Is that right?
That's correct. Back in the 70s, oil was discovered in the area here. And at the time, it turned out to be one of the biggest oil finds in the country. For many years, Jay was, well, they call it the oil capital of Florida, but it was booming as far as the oil business goes. We had several refineries around, and it was really pumping a lot of oil, brought a lot of money into the area, brought a lot of people into the area, and it made a lot of people basically millionaires overnight, once the oil was found. So It changed the landscape here a little bit. Now it's kind of I'm not the oil man, but it's getting toward the end of its cycle, I would say. They're still pumping oil. I know two or three years ago they hit three more oil wells here in the area, and that's probably the ones that you saw yesterday.
Yeah.
But it was a real big thing, and it's been good for a lot of people.
I just think it was interesting to see how that has gotten integrated with the farming because, taking the oil out from down beneath and the farming up on top, that's the multiple uses of the land and the underneath the land, the mineral rights or whatever.
Absolutely.
Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you about, we always like to end with kind of a farm fact. Do you have one for us this week, Ryan?
Well, I think people would be interested to know, since we've kind of finishing up planting season here, we don't plant the same number of plants for each crop that we plant. Everything does better at a specified number. So I thought people might be interested to know the rates at which we plant stuff at.
Yeah.
So for cotton, we plant about 24,000 seed per acre. For peanuts, we plant about 87,000 seed per acre. And for soybeans, we plant about 160,000 seed per acre. So we're trying to get about that many plants per acre. And we've learned over the years for our soil type and our environment that's where kind of the sweet spot is for that population to be planted in your field. So I thought people might be interested to know kind of how many plants might they find in an acre of land here in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, interesting, because as everything else, it's all driven by science and results and harvest yields and, basically programming the planter to put the right stuff in the ground so that you get the best out of it in the end. And hopefully it doesn't turn out like we did this year. Ryan, yeah. Ryan Jenkins, yeah. he's our farmer up in Jay, Florida, the owner of Jenkins Farms, and I will say the co-recipient of a Regional Murrow Award. Ryan, thank you so much for doing this for all this time. Thanks for helping me understand so much, and thanks for being so informative for our listeners, man. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having us. I hope everybody has a great week. Yeah.
We absolutely will, and we will eat more peanuts. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A lot of times we talk about NSEC as the company that's going to help you get the green lawn coming up, in a couple of months, as they get, or sooner, really. But also, the other part of what they do is pest control. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because where do the pests come from? They come from the ground, which is the lawn, so it makes sense to kind of do both. And right now, we are seeing all these things, right? We're seeing the termites. We are certainly seeing the stinging insects. We're seeing the ants and the ants and the ants and the ants, right? They're everywhere, right? Especially this year. It's crazy. Well, NSEC identifies targets, eliminates common household pests like roaches, ants, fleas, rodents with guaranteed results. Professional technicians, they show up when they say they're going to show up. They eliminate the pests. They take pictures. They send it to you. They show you what they they did with the report of everything. And, you know, that's the whole idea. So in addition to their general home pest control service, they also have several pest-specific services. Like if you just want to deal with the fire ants or mosquitoes, they can do that. NSEC's fire ant program takes just one treatment. Can you imagine that one time? This treatment bonds with the soil, guarantees you a full year of fire ant protection. For mosquitoes, NSEC's mosquito management plan scientifically identifies the mosquito species creating the problem and customizes monthly service visits to effectively reduce mosquito populations in your yard. For a limited time, new annual pest control customers get $50 off. Some restrictions do apply. For a limited time, $25 off a new annual fire ant contract. And estimates are always free. So find out what it would take to really clear your yard of the pests that bother you. Check out NSEC at ensec.net.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities too by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues through donations, volunteering, and monetary support. Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The real estate market changes so quickly,
it's hard to keep up.
Fortunately, all you need to do is stay informed by professionals like Team Sandy Blanton Realty. Join Sandy Blanton this Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Recommended by Shark Tank's Barbara Corcoran, Sandy will help you navigate through this ever-changing world with tips on buying or selling a home this Thursday at 10:30 with Team Sandy Blanton Realty on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners. Partners.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's and Angelina's Cooking Class, Father's Day, the Fish House Beer Fest, Juneteenth, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
All right, Candy, I know you know the song, but how good are your ears?
Pretty
good. Which version is this?
Well, to be fair, I didn't know there was different versions.
Billy Idol?
Yes.
As Billy Idol? Or Billy Idol as Generation X? before he was Billy Idol.
Look at you, Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I think that's Billy Idol, Billy Idol.
No, it's Generation X. 5:54.
Why do you do that, dude? God. I'm going to smack you.
I love you so much. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3.
I didn't know he did that, though, with Generation X. Yeah, I learned that today. That's cool.
I know. It's kind of like when you're listening to some song and you're like, well, that's I Can't Drive 55, but that doesn't sound like it was. That sounds like before Vin.
Right. Yeah, ELO had the move, too, and it's always weird hearing, like, oh.
The version,
okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's different. Hey, that's cool.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Explosions at a Soviet-era dam in Russian-controlled southern Ukraine sent floodwaters across the region on Monday, with each side blaming each other. The Kakhovka Dam was built back in the 50s, holds back about an equal amount of water as the Great Salt Lake in Utah. The trial for the accused Tree of Life gunman Robert Bowers now moving into its second week of testimony. Pittsburgh SWAT officers and paramedics took the stand yesterday and shared details of what they encountered when they entered that synagogue in 2018. Pittsburgh police officer Andrew Miller expected to testify later this morning. And Microsoft is going to have to pay $20 million to settle charges that the company illegally collected personal data from kids. The Federal Trade Commission announced that settlement yesterday. They accused the tech company of taking info from kids that signed up for Xbox gaming accounts without parental consent. Now they'll have to put stronger protections in place as part of the agreement.
Yeah, I would say that's sort of the step one of many steps to come for them and other companies on the collection of child data, voice recordings, all of that kind of stuff. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Where did it? I thought I had it handy, and then apparently I had put it in a place where I cannot find it. So that's not my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Is it about the Santa Rosa Council?
No,
are we going to hear more about that next hour?
Oh, there will be more. Yeah, no, there will definitely be more. It's a I really want to share it with you now because I've got it worked up in my head.
You want me to freestyle?
this is annoying. No, it'll just have to wait for later. That's all that's going to have to happen here. No, there it is. There it is. I got it. Yay. So, you know how every once in a while we hear these, I don't know, complaints about sports or about, you know, the women in the soccer are not getting paid with the men in soccer are getting paid, or, you know, the women's basketball is not getting the kind of attention that the men's basketball gets. And there's one part of you that kind of wants to hear that and think, well, you know, I understand the complaint. And there's another part of you that likes, well, look at the audience size and, you know, look at that. But there's also a question of, like, how good the top in their field are, right? There's always been this question of, well, you know, are the men that much better than the women at something? And so the question is, in a sport where they could theoretically play against each other, what sort of results would you get? You know, and this is also, of course, hits at the transgender issue, and you have, you know, biological males playing against biological females in a sport, and is that fair to the women? Well, yesterday you had this soccer tournament, first of its kind, I guess, soccer tournament, and I want to say it's on the East Coast somewhere, South Carolina, something like that. And what you had was the USA women's national team, or members of, playing against, you know, the team that Ryan Reynolds bought? Wrexham? Wrexham is the team. Mm-hmm. So there was $1 million prize on the line. So you know that the players care.
Of course.
They're going to play their very best. So Wrexham plays the USA women's national team in an early bracket round, not the finals, but an early bracket round, first round, actually, of this tournament, the end result of which has $1 million at stake. How did it go?
That's one of the first times we've seen Trundle not be in the middle of the box. He peels his run off to the penalty spot and almost catches Harris at her near post.
Goalie's putting the ball out for the women. Kicks it kind of inadvertently.
Turned over,
picked up by the men.
There it is. Game over. 12-0, Wrexham defeats the U.S. women.
12-0. 12-0. That's almost a football score. And they played like for 20 minutes, they got it up to 7, and then they kind of, you know, played a little bit the rest of the time. And it's not that I like to point out, but sometimes you just have to point out the obvious. If men and women play a sport. Now, there are some sports where this might be an exception. There are some sports where there's more competitive parity. But in a sport like basketball or in a sport like soccer, there's no comparison. The best men are going to completely dominate the best women because men are stronger, faster, whatever, in general. Can there be exceptions to that? Of course there can. But what's the general rule? Well, again, here you see that case. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Listen on air at 92.3.